Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lonesome Justice by Donald L. Robertson. Narrated by Scott Miller. Chapter 1. Clay Barlow made his way along Congress, the bustling main street of Austin. He was dusty from the tip of his overrun boots to the crown of his worn, sweat-stained black hat. It had been a long ride into the city. Blue, the blue roan his paw had given him 10 years ago, happily munched oats in Platt's stable. It may have been a long ride back from his ranch, but it was also a happy one. The chance he and Adam Hewitt had taken on the new Hereford cattle was starting to pay off. They had made their first sale, the new breed proving much more profitable than the lean longhorns. His eyes were drawn to a shapely blonde in a light blue dress that accentuated her slim waist, walking along the boardwalk ahead of him. Her arms, swinging at her sides, were covered with sleeves that ended midway down her forearms, with short white cuffs, exposing a portion of her golden tanned skin. Something about her looked familiar. She wore no bonnet, and her shoulder-length hair undulated with each step, shimmering in the afternoon sun. The young woman was striding past the swinging doors of the iron front saloon when a large hand thrust out over the swinging doors, followed by the hand's owner, a drunken buffalo hunter. He grabbed the young woman's upper arm.
"Hold on there, Blondie. Come on in and I'll buy you a drink."
The man's words were cut short by the petite little fist that drove into his lips, smashing them against his teeth. He stood there in stunned silence, blood running down his chin.
"Get your hands off me, you lush!" the young woman snapped.
When he was too slow in removing his hand, the small fist flashed again, slamming against the big man's nose. Blood splattered over the front of the girl's lovely blue dress. The buffalo hunter recovered and, drawing his right hand back in a fist, roared,
"You ain't hitting old Billy Bird, you..."
Clay had started moving as soon as he saw the hand reach out over the saloon door. His right fist preceded his body's arrival, slamming the man under his left eye and splitting the flesh over his cheekbone. During the altercation, the man had moved out of the saloon and onto the boardwalk. When Clay hit him, it broke his grip on the girl's arm and drove him against the door facing. The man stumbled out into the street, blood now coursing from his cheek, nose, and mouth. He shook his head like a bull, throwing blood on several bystanders who jumped back out of range. Bent over, he looked up at Clay.
"Mister, you may be big, but you ain't near as big as old Billy Bird. Now, I'm gonna show you how smart it is for a cowboy to mess with me."
The man reached behind the holstered gun he wore on his right side to a scabbard, positioned immediately behind the holster, and pulled out a big bowie knife.
"I'm gonna slice you up and serve you for dinner."
Clay was tired. The ride had been long, and the last thing he wanted to do was draw his bowie knife and duel it out with the drunk. "Mister, you're drunk. Apologize to the lady and ride out of town and I'll let you go."
"You'll let me go? Why, you young whippersnapper!"
The big man charged Clay, the cutter, edge up, leading the way. Moving so fast that few in the gathering crowd saw the action, Clay drew his Smith & Wesson from the right holster and stepped into the rushing man. He knocked the knife outside and away from his body with his left forearm and drove the barrel of the revolver into the side of old Billy's head, allowing the large but now unconscious man to plow into the dusty street. Clay slipped both revolvers back into their holsters. He had seen a deputy sheriff standing in the crowd. "Jim, can you throw this drunk into jail and let him sleep it off?"
"Sure thing, Clay. Glad to help."
The deputy turned to a couple of men standing in the thinning crowd and recruited them to help carry Bird to jail. Clay turned back to the young woman who was still standing on the boardwalk. She was slightly flushed but showed no sign of nerves, only dissipating anger that was quickly hidden by a wide and beautiful smile.
"My hero! Again!"
Clay cocked his head slightly, looking at the girl,
Then the clear and confident voice registered in his memory. Dorenda Davis! Why, aren't you a pretty picture? What's it been, 4, 5 years? The smile disappeared from her pretty face.
You listen to me, Mr. Barlow. This is 1881, which makes it 7 years since you rescued me and my mother from those bandits. And you know to call me Dee.
7 years, Clay said, shaking his head. Who would have thought it? Then a grin creased his face. You still planning on marrying me? The softly tanned face framed in golden hair turned a light crimson. But she didn't lower her eyes. Those brilliant blue eyes stared directly into the ranger's.
I'm considering it.
Now it was Clay's turn to blush. Well, yes. I mean, no. I mean, how are you doing? Dee giggled at Clay's discombobulation. At that moment, just a few paces up the boardwalk, the door to the City Hotel opened. Niles and Nancy Davis stepped outside, saw the drunk being carried off, and spotted their daughter. They came running over.
Dee, Niles said, are you all right?
She smiled at her parents.
Yes, Papa, I'm fine, thanks to this gentleman.
Nancy looked at the big man with the thick mustache for only a moment, then threw her arms around his neck and gave him a big kiss on the cheek. When she stepped back, she turned to her husband.
Honey, don't you remember Clay Barlow?
Niles smiled at the man in front of him and thrust out his hand. Looks like you're in the habit of saving my family, Clay.
Thank you.
My pleasure, Niles. Anybody else would have done the same thing. I was just in the right place. Nancy, with one hand on her hip and the other hand's pointer finger extended toward Clay, said,
Clay Barlow, that is almost the same thing you said when you saved us from those bandits that attacked the stage. You listen to me. Don't demean the courage you've shown. Twice. You are a brave man. Take credit for it.
Clay looked at Niles. Boy, these Davis women are tough. Niles laughed and put an arm around each one of them. You have no idea. They make me mighty proud. You should be, Clay said. Let me tell you what your daughter did. That drunk reached over those swinging doors. Clay pointed at the iron front saloon. And grabbed Dee's arm. That was a big mistake. She hit him twice before he could turn her loose. Busted his lips and broke his nose. All that was left for me was to give him a little tap and he was done.
Mother, Dee said, that is not exactly how it happened.
I'm sure, Nancy said.
Clay, would you join us in the City Hotel? We were getting together for supper, and we'd love to have you join us.
Yes, ma'am, if it's all right with Niles and Dee.
Of course it is, Nancy said. Now, young lady, let's get that bloody dress off of you and soaking, or those stains will never come out.
She grasped her daughter's left hand and looked at it.
It looks like those skin knuckles need a little doctoring, too.
Nancy tossed a glance toward her husband.
Would you grab us a table? We'll be down in a few minutes.
He nodded. The men followed the women toward the hotel. Several of the hotel's clientele smiled and nodded to Clay as he walked into the lobby. There were a few who cast critical glances at the dusty cowboy, but most knew him either as Ranger Barlow or Mr. Barlow, the attorney. A waiter met them at the restaurant entrance.
Good afternoon, Clay. Looks like you just came in off the trail.
Afternoon, Chester. Could you seat Mr. Davis while I go wash up? Mrs. Davis and her daughter will be joining us.
Why, yes, sir. I'd be glad to.
The waiter motioned for Niles to follow him, and Clay headed for the washroom. Passing the washroom door, he stepped out the back door into the alley. There, using his hat, he beat a substantial amount of dust from his clothing and looked around at the growing city of Austin. It amazed him how much the city had grown, even through the Depression, and now it was almost booming. Clay re-entered the hotel and turned into the washroom where he washed his face, neck, and hair. The mirror reflected a young man of extraordinary build,
Wide-set gray eyes stared back at him from a strong, sun-brown face and a dimpled chin, which he still had difficulty shaving. He combed his thick black hair with his fingers, wiped the dust from his hat, and returned to the dining room.
"How's the ranching business?" Clay asked, pulling out a chair and sitting across from the older man.
Niles nodded.
"Good. You may not know it, but you saved our ranch in 74 when you let us know about the coming depression."
He looked around the restaurant.
"In fact, it was right in here that it happened."
"Don't thank me. That was my grandpa's financial advisor from New York."
Clay glanced over to the table where he had sat with his grandpa, Senator Barlow, Mr. O'Shea, and Mike those 7 years ago. So much had happened over those years. It was later in that same week that he left with Mr. O'Shea and Mike for New York. Clay pulled himself back to the conversation.
"Mr. O'Shea had traveled to Texas to meet with several legislators, including my grandfather, and shared the news of the coming depression with us. He explained that the more people who knew about it, the better off the country would be. That's when I came over and shared it with you."
"Well, I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for that conversation, we would have lost the ranch. But thanks to you, we were able to sell off enough cattle to settle all of our debt. It wasn't easy, but we made it."
"I'm glad to hear it, Niles. A lot of ranchers and farmers lost everything."
Clay's head turned, along with all of the other restaurant's patrons, as Nancy and Dee entered the restaurant. Nancy was still very attractive. Her blonde hair had more gray in it than 7 years earlier, but she still turned heads. Her daughter, however, was a striking beauty. Clay and Niles rose from their chairs as the two women approached. Dee, slightly behind Nancy, moved to her side as they entered the room. When she stepped out from behind her mother, and Clay's eyes fell upon her, he was mesmerized. She had grown into a tall young woman. She was almost 5'6" tall, near as tall as a man. She had grown up on the ranch, working cattle alongside the ranch hands and her father, and her shoulders showed it. They were wide, tapering down to a narrow waist, where her hips flared gently, swaying the yellow satin of her dress as she walked. Dee had never been a town girl. Her face was not the milk white of the girls in town, but a soft golden tan from the kisses of the sun. Her long neck emphasized the gentle swelling at the bodice of her dress. Clay was struck. The blonde hair falling about her shoulders framed a confident beauty. Her smiling lips exposed even white teeth that completed the picture.
"I guess I don't have to ask if you like my dress," Dee said, staring up into Clay's wide eyes.
She laughed, placed one hand on his arm, and on her tiptoes kissed him on the cheek.
"That's for my gallant rescuer."
Clay recovered and grinned down at her. Before he could say anything, Nancy spoke up. Though she was smiling, she said,
"Dee, that is quite enough. You know you're in a public place."
Niles shook his head.
"Nothing my daughter does surprises me."
Dee winked at Clay and smiled at her father.
"Oh, Papa."
Clay looked at Niles.
"She may not surprise you, but she sure surprised me."
Dee laughed again, then seated herself next to Clay. Nancy sat across from her. It was hard for Clay to focus his attention on anyone except the blonde. A light fragrance of roses drifted in his direction.
"She sure smells good," Clay thought. "All my time in New York, I never met anyone like her."
He realized Nancy was talking.
"How's the ranger in business, Clay?"
"Ma'am, it's too good. I find I have little time to help my grandpa at the Barlow Law and Land and keep an eye on my ranch north of Uvalde."
Niles leaned forward.
"I understand you and Adam Hewitt are working together."
"That's right. Although he's doing almost all of the work, I help out when I can."
"How are the Shorthorns working out?"
Clay smiled as he thought of the success they were having with the Herefords.
Very well, Niles. The Texas winters don't seem to bother them, and they're taking the summers in stride. It's like...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?